This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And that's something that I believe Quinn Snyder is looking for, as well as part of Quinn taking over this team at the point that he did during the season was not only doing some talent evaluations and getting to know guys, but also instilling his way of thinking in game situations, this identity. You and I have spent a lot of time talking about the fact we have no clue what the Atlanta Hawks identity is. Well, Quinn Snyder has an identity that he's trying to instill in this team. And that was actually something that he just spoke on the other night that I wanted to play for you. Just so we can, you know, see this trajectory that I think is a really positive one that Quinn Snyder wants the Atlanta Hawks to go in.
You know, we have a tendency to identify ourselves with what happens on the offensive end. Not a tendency, we do. And we need to, you know, this identity of a team, you know, you don't have to be a great defensive team. You just have to care. And that's what we need. And we saw that tonight. And you're not going to get this league is going crazy offensively. It's hard to, you know, to defend in this league, but we got to get back and make it harder on the other team and easier on ourselves.
Yeah. So there it is. Like Quinn Snyder pretty plainly putting it that, what do you think of when you think of the Atlanta Hawks? Offense. What do the Atlanta Hawks think of when they think of the Atlanta Hawks? Offense. And Quinn's trying to say, hey, that's great, but you got to get back on the other end and stop those guys so that you can win these games, especially even when they do turn into shootouts, because it feels like, Deshaun, you know, you have a situation against the Cleveland Cavaliers where down the stretch of that game, Donovan Mitchell, he's knocking down buckets. Man finished with 44 points against the Atlanta Hawks, but the final three that he took doesn't fall. DJ was closed in on him really well. No one fouled him. No one fouled at the rim. They're able to collect the rebound and it's over with. It's just that identity on defense that it feels like Quinn Snyder is really trying to instill in this team.
And that's just the major piece. Listen, we just got done talking about the crunch time that these guys are about to be, are basically in already, not being able to afford to take. Listen, we've given them everything. You know, it's time to perform now. The lights are shining the brightest. You know, we remember when they were on their run during the Eastern Conference to the Eastern Conference Finals at one point in time. And listen, Trey's bowing in front of, you know, all of these fans, and everybody knows what New York is about. Broadway, and that's when the lights shine the brightest. Obviously, that being a very important key and vital piece, the lights are shining the brightest now, and they're about to shine even brighter over the course of the next couple of weeks. But what gets you to that point outside of being healthy is the defensive mentality has to step up. There's been far too many years where we have said that this is the worst defensive team in the NBA. You got to get stops. If you want to achieve all your dreams, goals, aspirations, amongst other things, we saw it on last year. What did we see in the NBA Finals? Two of the league's top, what, three, I think, best defensive teams get that far, which were the Golden State Warriors and the Boston Celtics. You have to be able to get stops on one end. I always like it better when you start from the inside out, similar to how it is with in basketball, starting on the defensive end, because the offense will come. And you have all the offense. You just mentioned it. If there is any sort of identity, not saying that there's not other teams where this is their identity or mentality or mindset, but it is on the offensive side. But you got to be able to feel comfortable, especially down the stretch when games are going to get tighter, you know, when it's the playoffs, you know,
things when you're not getting calls.
And not getting calls, every possession becomes more critical, not as much up and down transition on the offensive side. There's a lot more half-court offenses. You're earning all your buckets a little bit differently than you were during the course of the duration of the regular season. And it's because that's what everybody loves about NBA playoff time versus the regular season. Why we fall in love with it the way that we do is because guys appear to be taking things a little bit more serious, playing a little bit harder. All of those, in my opinion, fall under the umbrella of just playing better defense. That's the starting point. And that has to be the starting point for this team, or we're not going to be talking about them advancing past anywhere. They're going to be over here sitting next to Deshaun Tate and Caleb Johnson on the Lazy Boy with their feet kicked up, watching on a flat screen TV.
There's one other element of Quinn Snyder and the type of team that he's looking for that has surprised me a bit. I think based on knowing what this team is and how I would have assumed Nate McMillan was coaching this team, but with this team, they're shooting a lot more threes as of late, and they're not always hitting. You know, they're going through nights. Like they did against, I believe it was the Grizzlies, that they were like 7 of 31. And it was just really bad. Couldn't hit threes. And the Grizzlies did hit threes. And that was honestly, that was the difference between that game. Against Cleveland, they shoot 12 of 27 from three, which is a lot of volume. But they're knocking them down. They were at one point, they were like the bottom, bottom two teams in the NBA in three-point attempts, just simply from the fact of you started thinking about who is on this roster, not a whole lot of guys who shoot threes, but you've got guys who can. You've seen a lot more of DeJounte knocking them down as he did against the Cavs. You got John, who's actually looked better and is still trying to keep that consistency up. I think DeAndre should be further along than he is, but it's just not there quite yet. But there was something that Trey said after the Memphis loss that really caught my attention, and it really surprised me as this direction that Quinn Snyder's trying to take this team. And I want to get your reaction to this, Deshaun.
We're all just trying to create for each other. We probably got to shoot a little bit more threes when we're open instead of just waiting for the closeout. But I mean, we'll get better at that. I think that's something that coach, it's new for us. As he emphasizes shooting more threes, and guys just, just haven't really necessarily been told to shoot it every time whenever you get it. So I think that's good for our team, and it's gonna help us in the long run.
Guys haven't necessarily been told in the past to shoot when they're open. I really struggled with that one, where there's no way that Nate was telling these guys to pass up open shots, right? Like, I'm confused at this element of watching this Hawks team pass up open shots. They didn't do as much of that. They were actually a lot better against the Cavs, which helps in a win. But this idea of passing up open shots, because they're just not used to it, just seems so bizarre.
Number one, we weren't in those huddles. weren't in those practices or shoot arounds during the times that could have been potentially communicated of. I'm not sure that it was ever a conversation about if you're wide open, don't you dare shoot it. You know, I'm not sure it got to that point. I will say enough to say this, though. This has been one of the worst three-point shooting teams of NBA this season.
Sure.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting shots up, I don't know. I just think that it's concerning because when those shots did go up, they weren't going in.
That was the thing.
Maybe there's a reason behind that for why Nate was saying don't do that. Or maybe Trey has a little bit more confidence in some of those shots. That maybe Nate was not instilling within his players. Maybe Trey sees something within his teammates that Nate couldn't necessarily get across to the guys to make them feel confident about the shots that were being taken, not just about taking them in general. So I think that there's a couple different ways that could have been interpreted.
Yeah, I found it so interesting that, and it's also like there's different elements of this that, you know, Trey was one who was not hitting shots earlier in the year. And that could have been conversation. You know, it's like, well, are you still taking the stuff that was being discussed 4 months ago into what's happening, you know, now kind of thing? Like, you know, the game, your game has to evolve throughout the season, not just year over year kind of stuff. So there's just different elements of that really kind of threw me off. And also, I just seeing this team pass up some of those shots for what I would look at as being some tougher shots, you know, being really crowded situations in the paint and guys are going up for it. I know John and Trey still love to do that a little bit too much for my liking of just being in the paint and almost forcing it rather than kicking out and relying on your teammates to knock those shots. They also didn't have Sadiq Bey earlier in the year. And that changes things too when you have that guy who can knock down those corner threes along with Bogey and that sort of thing. So it's just, I don't know. It was one of those things I wanted us to discuss a little bit because it's part of this new identity that Quinn Snyder wants to build. And it also just kind of reminded me that it's really easy to kind of throw the guy who used to be around here under the bus.
Sure.
I know ownership has done that with the previous general manager recently. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of, I don't know. It feels like an easy scapegoat. But if changing their thought process produces positive results, I'm all for it.
Well, here's my thing, Caleb, when it comes to the high volume, high octane perimeter shooting, all of that kind of stuff. I never eat a guy's lunch for taking shots, as long as it is well within respectful, you know, shot selection.
Sure.
I think my biggest issue that I have with some of this is two things. The first one being rebounding. Following shots being a part of rebounding, falling under that same umbrella, but certainly rebounding. Even more so on the offensive end, which I would like to see them be better at. The other piece is just about getting back.
Yeah.
I don't think this is nearly as much about the shots being put up from the perimeter as much as it is to me about getting the stops and creating the second chance points, getting on the glass, Things like that. But this has been a pretty, to my knowledge, and I couldn't be wrong, somewhat significant team in terms of points in the paint. Just because they are so lethal in positions where Trey requires so much attention from defenses when he gets in between the teeth of the defense. Because of his ability with the floater, the teardrop, or to throw the lob. So this team has been, for a really good reason, they've been pretty good in the painted area. Obviously, if you look at how atrocious the three-point shooting has been, then it will all kind of add up and make sense to you. But my biggest thing is just really going to be rebounding on both sides. But, you know, I definitely like the chances that you get when you rebound on the offensive end. That being the first thing. And then the second thing is getting back on defense. Make the shot, miss the shot. You know you got to get a stop on the other end. And that is also not necessarily the most appealing thing to this generation of basketball that we have kind of gotten accustomed to knowing it. You know, it's kind of gone in the direction of, well, you know, we ain't worried about it, you know, getting a stop on the other end just so that we can outscore the other team, which ultimately will result in winning the basketball game. You know, who has the possession at the end to determine who's going to win that game? I don't necessarily love that mentality, because no matter what you do on the offensive end, what I love, the mentality that I love more, is being able to shut guys down. Some people are just offensively driven people. That's not just Trey. That's not just one or two guys. That's just in general. The guy who's doing the dirty work or the grunt work, doing all the heavy lifting on that side, the Capellas and things like that, those aren't the guys that are, you know, that everybody falls in love with. They love the guy that can shoot the shots and put the ball in the basket, which is great. People will tell you, oh, it's a make and miss league, and you know, you got to be able to put the ball in the basket. If you don't, okay, that's clearly stating the obvious. But I still think that you have to have those pieces who hang their hat on the defensive end, especially when they know that it's not their night. Not just going out there shooting, trying to shoot them way out, their way out of it, but also saying, tonight's not my night. Clearly it's somebody else's, or why don't I stop shooting as much so that I can have the ability to put the ball in the hands of someone else who might have the hot hand on that night and focus on getting stops on the other end. That is ultimately what I think will help the team that much more.
Yeah, I think the transition defense thing is something that Quinn Snyder has talked about in these post-game sessions and in practice sessions a ton. Especially within the last week, where I thought it was important that Quinn even was talking about, hey, I'm trying to get these guys of, you know, whether it is a turnover, which you don't want those live ball turnovers, or it's, a rebound for the opposing team, that our first step is so vital in our transition defense. We don't need to be doing the, oh, I can't believe I just made that mistake, or oh, yeah, I can't believe the official didn't call that, because he was like, that first step, if it's bad, you're done for, and the possession, it's in their hands, and that's a basket for them. I think the Hawks have taken that too lightly too often, where once it's across the timeline, it's just like, oh yeah, all right, that possession's gone, they score, and let's just get the ball and, you know, run it the other way. And it's like, well, no. I think Quinn's really trying to stress of like, no, let's take that just as seriously as anything else and shut it down.
Here's the last piece that I will say about that, with the jump shooting and things of that nature. You mentioned something earlier in the episode about the turnovers. I'm always one that will live and die on the side of the fence that would much rather you take a shot, even if it has to be a bad shot. Of course, that's not something that I love the idea of, but I'd much rather you do that than to give the ball to the other team somehow and allow them with an opportunity to now run the score up even higher by 2 points or 3 points.
Sure.
I just want to make that part clear, because I think sometimes that goes unnoticed when we start talking about the shooting. But, you know, that poor shooting, which is, that's giving you a 50-50 chance of it going in or not going in. But when you give the ball around over to the other team, that's giving you a 0% chance of the ball going in, at least for you anyway.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.